T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in, Nick Saban. Welcome in, Tom Brady. Kirby Smart, Matt Ryan, what you got? Measuring stick moments at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the best to ever do it. It is indeed the Nick Cale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app. We're with you for the next 3 hours as we'll take you up until 12 o'clock, leading you into college football game time. But Atlanta, Georgia, since 1994, that has been the destination. From the Georgia Dome to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that has been the ultimate goal. From spring games like G-Day and A-Day, to two-a-days in August in the heat, to Labor Day weekend kickoff, to October, where the gray days of autumn invade the South into the holiday season, which is where we are at right now. This is the goal of every SEC team. And these are the days that we live for as college football diehards. So Alabama, Georgia today, we're absolutely loaded. Bill Bender of the Sporting News in less than 20 minutes. Jake Crane's going to join us from The Volume in hour number two. Dave Schultz in the final hour of today's show from WNSP in Mobile. But let's get to the big story, which is obviously Alabama, Georgia, the SEC championship. And I'll just say this. I want to get to this national narrative that is out there with the media. And it also comes back locally as well. That Alabama apparently has no shot today. I mean, short of Caleb Johnson in the last 10 minutes saying that he thinks Alabama can beat Georgia, most people don't think Alabama has a chance. Apparently, Alabama shouldn't even show up, which I find interesting. Now, I'll just flat out tell you right now, I think Georgia wins. I'm taking the Dogs 24-20. They were my preseason prediction going all the way back to May. I thought Georgia would win the national championship. They would beat Alabama on this date today, and they would beat Clemson in a rematch from week one in the national championship. I got Georgia by 4 points. This feels to me like a 3 or 4 point game. But the notion that Alabama has no chance today, I find borderline absurd. Nick Saban as the head coach. Bryce Young, the Heisman favorite at quarterback. The best pass rusher in America in Will Anderson. You can argue Aiden Hutchinson, but on a sheer pound-for-pound freak basis, I think Will Anderson's better. But, you know, Aiden Hutchinson kind of looks like another Bosa, so he's a stud as well. And then you have an Alabama run defense that allows like 2.5 yards a carry. I think that's third in the country. And you add it all up, and Alabama's got no shot. All right. Not sure that I really buy that. But you guys can spin that narrative if you want. If that's your opinion, God bless you. Ain't coming out of my mouth. All right. So let's get to the history of this rivalry. Because you go back to 2007, the first year Nick Saban went to Alabama, up against Georgia, they lost in Tuscaloosa. But since then, Alabama has won 6 straight games. 2008, Alabama goes to Athens, the blackout game at night, Sanford Stadium, A.J. Green, no Sean Moreno, Matt Stafford, Alabama won that game. 2012 SEC championship in Mercedes, the old Georgia Dome, Alabama beat Georgia in epic fashion. 2015, Alabama wins in Athens. And then, of course, 2018, they win in Athens, or excuse me, in Atlanta. 2018's SEC championship, they win, and they won in Tuscaloosa last year. So Alabama has won six straight in this series. Yet for some reason, Alabama's got no chance today. I mean, again, I think Georgia wins this. I think Georgia's the better team. They've been the better team all year. They haven't had the close encounters like Alabama has. But the one thing that I don't understand is why some of these people are sitting here saying, well, they only beat LSU by this, and they only beat Arkansas by that, and they barely got by Florida, and then Florida fired Dan Mullen. Well, it works both ways, right? Because we thought Clemson was going to be a great team this year, and Clemson was not a great team. Georgia beat them 10-3. And other people don't even want to bring up the fact that Alabama blew out Ole Miss by 21 points. It's almost like, well, that game doesn't count because it doesn't fit the narrative. So I think this is setting up for a fantastic game. As a college football fan, these are the days you absolutely live for, and we will break it down throughout the show. The Nick Hale Show, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app as we take you up until 12 o'clock today. All right, speaking of Alabama having no chance, let's hear from former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray, CBS Sports Network. He was on with Dukes and Bell, says Alabama, no chance, dogs by double digits.
Well, they're the better football team. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, if you just would take away the logos and if you watch film from this season, I mean, Georgia's been more dominant. And people want to say, oh, well, you know, who have they faced? They've had four common opponents. You know, both teams have played Auburn. Both teams have played Arkansas. Both teams have played Florida. And both teams have played Tennessee. And Georgia's dominated every single one of those games. They beat Arkansas 37-0. They beat Florida 34-7. They beat up Tennessee 41-17. And then they, Auburn. They beat Auburn, I think that's that one. But listen, and then you look at the way Alabama's faced in those games, and it's been close contest. The only one that they somewhat ran away from was the Tennessee game, and that was still a ball game in the third quarter. They barely beat Florida, they barely beat Auburn, and they barely beat Arkansas. So to me, you look at Alabama this year, and they're a good football team, and there's nothing wrong with that. There is a reason why they're 11-1. They're very good. They're not elite. They're just not. And you look at Georgia, and to me, they're an elite football team. They have one of the best defenses we've seen in the past 20 years. The offense doesn't get enough credit because we keep saying, oh, they're just good, they're managing. This is a very good offense. They can run the football. The offensive line's gelling. Stetson Bennett has been tremendous throwing the football, been electric running it when he needs to on third down and in the red zone. They have the special teams has been really good throughout the season as well. So this team has come together and it's complete. Alabama lacks, obviously, running backs. Robinson may be banged up. They may only have one scholarship running back. Offensive line's been an issue. They've had some holes on defense. I'm sorry, but to me, when you look at the matchup, I just feel like Georgia should win by double digits. And I know it's like, oh, my God, they can't do it. It's Alabama. It's Alabama. It's Alabama. I don't care, man. They're the better football team. And right. I do believe they have the mentality and the confidence that they're going to show up on Saturday and kick their butts.
All right, there you go. Aaron Murray on with Dukes and Bell this week, buying into the notion that, you know, Alabama's got no chance. We'll see. That's why they play the game. But here's the other thing that I think is an interesting thing to keep in the back of your mind. Can Kirby Smart have his Jim Harbaugh moment? Last weekend, we saw Jim Harbaugh finally break through against the vaunted Buckeyes. Get that monkey off of his back. Can Kirby Smart do that today? And let's just say a certain scenario plays out today. Will Kirby Smart have the gumption to pull the trigger? And so here's the scenario. Let's say Georgia's offense gets off to a slow start. Maybe Alabama hits a home run early to Mechie or Jamison Williams. And all of a sudden, it's, you know, we're looking at the clock and there's about 4 minutes to go till halftime. And Alabama leads Georgia 14-3 or 17-6. And, you know, Alabama's offense is looking good, but Georgia's offense is sputtering. And Georgia can't run the ball. And all of a sudden, this game is going to look like, I'm not going to say it's a shootout, but it looks somewhat like of an offensive game. And Stetson is struggling. Does Kirby Smart make the change at quarterback like Nick Saban did against Kirby Smart and Georgia just 3 years ago? Because if you recall, you go back to that national championship game in January of 2018 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Alabama couldn't do jack squat against Georgia's defense. Jalen Hurts looked god-awful. And at halftime of the national championship, Nick Saban benched Jalen Hurts for Tua Tagovailoa. And oh, by the way, a Jalen Hurts who was 26-2 as a starting quarterback for the top team in the country in his career, 26-2 got benched for the freshman. Does Kirby Smart, if Stetson struggles and Bama is scoring a little bit on Georgia, does he go to JT Daniels? How fitting would that be? The irony, if Georgia makes a quarterback change finally on December the 4th and then finally beats Nick Saban in Alabama. If that played out and Kirby made the change and won the game, he would never have to pay for a meal again in the state of Georgia. That's how big today is. And I know a lot of people want to talk legacy, legacy, legacy. Here's the thing, guys. Is this a legacy game for Kirby Smart? I don't know that it is. The guy's 45 years old. At this rate, he could coach at Georgia for the next 20 to 30 years. He's going to have so many opportunities to win national championships, win SEC championships. So don't be the guy that sits there and says, today, if Kirby loses, his legacy's tarnished. Right now, he's 0-3 against Nick Saban as the head coach of Georgia. Last week, Jim Harbaugh was 0-6 against Ohio State entering the game. And Jim Harbaugh's 12 years older than Kirby Smart. He's 57 years old. So I don't know that this is a true legacy game for Kirby Smart. It's huge. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know if I'm really going there. And by the way, today this marks the first time since October 3rd, 2015, that Alabama's an underdog, ending a 92-game streak as the favorite. The last time that happened, October 3rd, 2015, it was against Georgia. Alabama won 38-10. And by the way, the last time Alabama was a 6.5-point underdog or higher, the 2008 SEC Championship against Florida, Gators rolled that day in Georgia 31-20. All right, it is the Nick Hale Show, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game in the Odyssey app. We got a lot to get to today. Jake Crane from The Volume, Colin Cowherd's network, he'll join us to kick off hour number two. Dave Schultz from Mobile, Alabama in hour number three. But on the other side, we're going to bring in our buddy Bill Bender from The Sporting News, national college football writer. We'll break down the SEC Championship, the Big Ten Championship, Cincinnati's opportunity, the coaching searches, all of that. That's coming up with Bill next here on the Nick Hale Show. Championship Saturday in Atlanta. Let's go. We're back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, guys, welcome back in. Good to have you in on this Saturday as we roll till 12 o'clock. Championship Saturday in Atlanta, the SEC Championship. Alabama and Georgia should be a good one. And here to break that down, as well as the rest of the college football championship games today, is our buddy Bill Bender from The Sporting News, national college football writer. You can follow him on Twitter at BillBender92, and he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. So let me start, first of all, thanks for joining us. Big Ten Championship, any concern that Michigan maybe played their Super Bowl last week and maybe for some reason can't get up to that same level again today against Iowa?
Well, it's kind of a reversal of the last time they were in this situation with Iowa. You go back to 16, Iowa beat them a couple weeks before the Ohio State game. So I mean, I'm sure they've talked about it and managing, you know, all the things you need to manage for a big game like that. And I mean, they are a little bit of a heavier favorite than I thought they would be, given how the teams matched up. But I think if Michigan doesn't turn the ball over a bunch, they should be fine.
You know, you get to the American Championship, and Cincinnati undefeated. I think they deserve to be in as long as they win today. But do style points matter today, or is a victory clearly enough to punch their ticket?
Well, you know, I think style points may come into play if Alabama beats Georgia, because then Oklahoma State, if they win, then you're going to have that issue, possibly, with a Power 5 champion getting in over a Group of 5 champion. But I think they do have to look good doing it. But, I mean, it's a tough matchup to begin with. They've got to take care of business against the Houston team that hasn't lost against since week one.
Very true. Bill Bender joining us from the Sporting News. Let's get to the one that everybody in our audience and our market cares about, the SEC Championship. Is today that moment for Kirby Smart like it was for Jim Harbaugh last week, where he finally gets over the hump? What's your feeling on this game? Because it feels to me like the national media, a majority of people, thinks that Georgia just rolls today. Are you buying that?
I mean, that's the narrative, and I think Georgia will win the game, but I'm also looking at Alabama playing the rare underdog card, right? Yep. And having, I get Georgia's going to be able to get pressure on them. Georgia's going to be able to run the football. Stetson Bennett played in this game last year, but it's still Alabama. You can't just show up and beat Alabama. You're going to have to play well to do it. So, I mean, given the ties between the coaches, how close they are, I think I put something to the effect of 29-20 Georgia. And I think it'll be a classic game that'll be played out like a national championship game, because these have been the two best teams in the country in a lot of ways.
You know, I think all eyes will be on Bryce Young today, all eyes on Georgia collectively as a defense. But I'm not sure that the two best players in this game aren't Jordan Davis and Will Anderson. Do these guys have any chance, if they have an absolute monstrous day, of working their way into the Heisman conversation as defensive players?
Well, Will Anderson, I mean, with his numbers, and if he has this just game-wrecking, awesome outing, yeah, he would certainly be a guy that would have a chance. And then on the other side, the hard part with Jordan Davis is we all know how good he is and how dominant he is, but the Heisman's such a statistical award. So if I was Georgia, I would promote him by this, saying he's the best player on the best statistical defense that we've seen in, I don't know, 20 years. So I think that's his best case to be a finalist. So, yeah, I mean, those two will come into a focus as well. The Heisman Trophy is going to be won today. I do have a ballot, and I can safely tell you I haven't even touched it because I have no clue.
Very good. I threw out this hypothetical in the opening segment. I said something to the effect of, let's say Stetson Bennett is struggling and Alabama's moving the ball, and maybe Alabama has a 16-6 lead at halftime. Does Kirby have the stones or the guts to do what Nick did 3 years ago and make a quarterback change? Could we see JT Daniels today if maybe Georgia goes off script?
Well, if we see JT Daniels, Georgia fans are going to be really uncomfortable, because you painted out the scenario where it'd probably be the only one where he would come in, unless Stetson Bennett got injured, which we hope doesn't happen. I think the key with Bennett or Daniels or whoever is the yards per completion, getting the ball, pushing the ball down the field after you run for 4 and 5 yards with your running backs, and maybe exploiting a couple coverage breakdowns, which Alabama's been susceptible to. So if that happens, then, Georgia will have their chances.
I know you got interviews to do coming up, so I'm going to hit you with a couple of quick ones in the final 2 or 3 minutes before we get you out of here. Let me go to the coaching front. Oklahoma, who gets the gig?
Oh, man, I'd take a hard look at Josh Heupel. I really would. With what he's done at UCF, Oklahoma guy, what he's done at Tennessee, the offense works. If I'm them, I would kind of aim that way.
I like that one. Miami, does Manny Diaz stay? And if not, is it Mario Cristobal or Lane Kiffin?
I think those are the two they've got to target if it's not. And Mario Cristobal obviously is recruited well on the West Coast. Last night, not the result they wanted, obviously, but he's a really good coach. He would fit there.
Final one, Bill Bender from the Sporting News joining us. USC, Lincoln Riley, LSU, Brian Kelly. 5 years from now, which guy's got a national championship?
Oh man. Brian Kelly's probably a better bet in 5 years, but I think Lincoln Riley's a better bet to be at USC in 5 years, if that makes sense. Because I think he'll have some time to develop and get his offense rolling with the recruits he has. But, I mean, in the short term, yeah, LSU with the talent they have, that could be a quick turnaround with Kelly. That's a good question.
Thank you. Bill Bender, National College Football Writer for the Sporting News. Hey, Bill, I appreciate the time. Go get to your next interview. Thank you very much.
Hey, you guys are the best. Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Bill Bender joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. So let's get to a couple of things with some of those coaching things that just transpired this week, because I thought it was fascinating. And I don't know where we are heading as a sport in its entirety, but if you think about this right now, we've got transfer portal activity. We've got name, image, and likeness. We've got coaches leaving everywhere. We've got college football playoff expansion. It feels to me like college football, and I don't think this is a bad thing, is on a breakaway on the highway right now with no exit in sight, going 120 miles an hour, closer to professional football. And I don't think it's ever going to get to the point where college football doesn't feel like college football anymore. But with coaches, I mean, think about this, guys. Brian Kelly left Notre Dame this week with an opportunity for Notre Dame to still make the college football playoff. That's how good the LSU job is, and that's how much of a business this is now, where these coaches are getting offers that are just astronomical. And you can sit there and say, well, Brian Kelly makes, I don't know, what does he make at Notre Dame? $5 million, $6 million, $8 million, whatever it is. What's $8 million versus $10 million? What else can't you buy? It's at a point now where it's just silly money, and they're not going to turn it down. And he goes to LSU and quickly picks up a Southern accent. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen the video and have watched it and listened to it on social media or on TV. Brian Kelly's been in Baton Rouge for 19 minutes. All of a sudden, he's got a Southern drawl to his accent. Maybe a bit fraudulent, but trying to sell it to his fan base. We'll get into all the coaching search stuff. I'm going to rank all these coaching hires coming up later, because I do think it is fascinating, all these moves. And there's still a trickle-down effect to come. Because if Manny Diaz gets whacked at Miami, then all of a sudden it's either Mario Cristobal or Lane Kiffin. Well, if either one of those guys leave, then Oregon's got an opening. Or Ole Miss has an opening. And then if Oklahoma fills their vacancy, then there's somebody else that's got a vacancy. So we're not even close to this thing being over, despite Florida filling theirs and LSU filling theirs and USC filling theirs. The Nick Cale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app. Let's get back to Alabama, Georgia, because I want to play you this, because everybody's fascinated with Kirby Smart and the whole thing of, well, if not now, when? Because Kirby Smart, is he ever going to be a 6.5-point favorite over Nick Saban in Alabama again? I don't think that he is, but I mean, the reality is he is clearly recruiting at a different level. He is at the point now where he is doing what Georgia was what Alabama was doing 11, 12 years ago, where it quickly became a major separation. Remember when Saban started to take off and won that first national championship? I mean, he basically drove Urban Meyer out of the SEC. Like, I know Urban had health issues and headaches, but he saw the writing on the wall. Tebow was leaving. Saban was dominating. I'm going to go to Ohio State. Feels like Kirby could be on the verge of doing that at Georgia, but let's hear from a former Georgia Bulldog, the great David Pollack, on with Dukes and Bell, on what a victory would mean for Kirby Smart.
It'll mean a big fat payday is what it'll mean, bro. It'll be, I mean, everybody in college football is getting paid out the wazoo. Kirby obviously has already earned his money, and he's going to get a lot of money, but you go win this thing, and you'll be like, hey, bro, what you want? Like, what do you need? Like, what? We'll take care of this. What are we going to talk? 10 years, you know, $15 million a year. Like, I think it's a big payday. But obviously, you know, Kirby's an elite competitor, and his whole thing with this team all year long is: are you elite or not? Are we elite or not? And they got a chance to prove that, man. And they've had some moments in the past where they've been able to, you know, had opportunities and they weren't good enough to do it. And now, you know, this is another opportunity he gets to do it.
David Pollack on with Dukes and Bell this week. The reality is this. Kirby Smart is 3 wins away from getting a blank check. I mean, let's be real. If he beats Nick Saban and then wins 2 playoff games en route to a national championship, Kirby Smart can sit down at that conference room table and say, I want X. And Georgia will give it to him. And Kirby would have earned it. And then you start to wonder. And maybe it's forward thinking. But if he does it this year, what's the ceiling? Are we looking at a dynasty? Could this be what Saban has done at Alabama at Georgia? Maybe not to the extent of six national championships, because then you're talking greatest of all time. But back-to-back championships, 3 and 4 years. There's no reason to think Georgia can't do it. They have all the resources. They have the recruiting access. They have the money. They have the facilities. They've got the tradition. They've got the whole schmear. There's nothing Georgia doesn't have when you're a true elite college football program. They have everything that USC has, everything that Alabama has, everything that Ohio State has, Texas, Oklahoma, you name it. And with a win today and then two more, you start to think the floodgates can open. All right, so let's kind of get into the actual game itself and the matchups. Georgia's offense against Bama's defense, Bama's offense against Georgia's defense. Let me start with Georgia's offense. I think Stetson will need to make plays today because Alabama only gives up about 2.5 yards a carry. So you can look at all the good Georgia running backs. I don't think Georgia can win this game playing in a phone booth, playing old school 1994 football. Stetson Bennett, I think, needs to make a few plays with his arm. I'm thinking 3 or 4 shots vertically down the field in this game to whoever it might be. Bowers, Burton, Jackson. Oh, by the way, George Pickens. I don't think he's anything more than a decoy, but we'll see. You know, seven snaps last week against Georgia Tech. I don't know that he's going to have a 100-yard game today, but if he can make one big play, that would be huge. But I think it's Stetson Bennett improvising, making plays with his legs today to extend drives. That could be critical. And let's be real, guys. If Zach Calzada from Texas A&M can beat Alabama, Stetson Bennett can do the same. But I think they have to open it up. I don't think it can just be rely on your great defense, try to run the ball, a few play actions. Like that blueprint, I don't think works today. And then on the other side of the ball, with Alabama, can Alabama actually sustain drives? Because I don't think you're going to hit a bunch of home runs on Georgia. You might get one coverage bust, and you might get a home run. But Alabama's going to have to find a way to matriculate the ball down. If they think they're just going to put up 35 on 5 touchdowns of 25 yards or longer against this defense, they're sadly mistaken. And Alabama limited at the running back position. They're going to have to find ways to get 8, 10, 12 play drives. I'm not sure that they can. I like Georgia today, 24-20. But again, the narrative that Alabama's got no chance today is beyond preposterous. Greatest coach of all time, Heisman Trophy quarterback, best pass rusher in the country. If you think Bama's got no shot, you're fooling yourself. And Nick Saban's pumped that into his players this week behind closed doors. Guarantee it. He's playing the psychology card. All right, coming up next, let's hit some headlines. We'll get back to the SEC Championship and all things college football in a little bit. But on the other side, we've got the second half of GOAT Weekend. Saban today at the Benz. Tom Brady tomorrow will hit Falcons Bucks. All things baseball with the Braves, the labor strike, Marcell Ozuna, and a awful, and I mean awful, fourth quarter last night from our Atlanta Hawks. I don't know what that was against the Sixers. We'll try to make sense of it coming up next when we hit some headlines. Stay there. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll kick off hour number two with Jake Crane of the J-Boy Show, part of Colin Cowherd's The Volume, talking all things SEC Championship with Jake. Also in the final hour of the show, Dave Schultz from WNSP in Mobile. We'll get the Alabama perspective of today's matchup against the Georgia Bulldogs. Dogs about a 6.5-point favorite against Alabama today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a day where if Georgia wins, think about this, guys. For all the people that want college football playoff expansion for the sake of, well, I want new blood, I want new blood. You might get a whole bunch of new blood without expansion. Because if Georgia wins today, in all likelihood, barring complete chaos across the board today in all the other games, you're going to have no Alabama, you're going to have no Clemson, you're going to have no Ohio State, and no Oklahoma. So Georgia would only be like the one routine team to be in the college football playoff again, as they have been multiple times over the last 5 years. So I think it once again plays into the notion that college football playoff expansion is not really needed based on the same teams over and over. It's going to happen because of money. That's why it's happening. But like, if you go back to Labor Day weekend and I came on here and said, you know what? I don't think Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, or Clemson will make the college football playoff. Y'all would have been like, I want some of whatever Nick's taking. But that's what we could possibly have by the end of today. Final college football playoff rankings and who gets in will be revealed tomorrow. Actually, right before Falcons and the Bucks. As we hit some headlines here on the Nick Kale Show, we'll get back to all the college football in less than 20 minutes. So first of all, let's get to the Falcons and the Bucks. Big one tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And if you think about it, a great three-day weekend going into this weekend for Atlanta sports. You had Hawks and Sixers last night. You get Dogs and Bama today. And then you get Brady against the Falcons tomorrow, all in this city. It's a pretty cool three-day weekend if you planned it out that way. And maybe, you know, took some time off of work and crashed at a hotel and said you're going to go through all the venues and take in all the games. But tomorrow, Falcons-Bucks rematch. And we know the way it played out the first time back in the beginning of the season. It kind of felt like three different games, right? All wrapped into one game. And when I look at this game, do I think the Falcons have a shot? I do. I actually do, because there is a grittiness to this team. And I don't think people are really viewing it league-wide. Like, we get caught in Falcon tunnel vision. But if you think about what this team is doing right now, considering the lack of talent, considering a rookie head coach, it's nothing short of remarkable. Like, you can argue Bill Belichick, coach of the year with Mac Jones. He'll probably win it. You could argue Mike Vrabel with all his injuries in Tennessee. You might be able to throw in the guy in Cincinnati who's doing a great job in that stacked division with Cleveland and Baltimore and even Pittsburgh, who's trending in the wrong direction. But then there's Arthur Smith with a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback in the final chapter of his career, surrounded by what? A rookie tight end, a 9-year journeyman who's been lightning in a bottle in Cordarrelle Patterson, a receiver who has stepped aside for mental health issues, and a defense that can't generate much of a pass rush. And here we are on December the 4th, and the Falcons right in the mix for the 7 seed at 5-6. Saints lost on Thursday night. That only helps. And you get another crack at Tom Brady. Now look, you're an 11-point home underdog, so the odds makers say, you probably don't have much of a chance. But that's why they play the games. And I think they're taking on a personality. And speaking of that, let's hear from our man Dave Archer, who was on the morning show this past week, talking about Arthur Smith and his identity rubbing off on this team.
I think there's a toughness to him. They're maybe taking on the persona of their head coach. Their head coach, Arthur Smith's a no-nonsense guy. He wants to come off the ball and hit you in the mouth, and he wants you to play physical and those type of things. And they've had a tough time doing that at times, whether it was because player wasn't good enough or they just didn't get it yet. But they got it on Sunday. And I think that if there's something that I can hang my hat on, maybe that toughness and resilience kind of comes from their coach. I think that that's kind of what he personifies. He's not a glitzy guy and, you know, kiss the baby, shake hands, all that kind of stuff. He's just a pure football coach. And he wants to play physical and mash and get after you. And that's what they did on Sunday. And I thought they mirrored their coach.
Dave Archer, Alma John, and Hugh on the morning show this past week. And make no mistake about it, Arthur Smith is a smash mouth guy. He just doesn't have the personnel to do it consistently yet. Kind of did it last week against the Jaguars. He likely won't do it against the Bucks. Vita Vey being back on that front three, he's a total stud. That Bucks front seven is a total matchup issue for the Falcons. But get ready, guys, because I'm telling you right now, the next few drafts will show his vision. And the 2022 draft is going to be a must-have in the trenches for Terry Fontenot, both on the offensive line and on the defensive line. And they need multiple home run picks in the draft on the offensive line and defensive line. Falcons could very well look different by 2023. And it's going to start inside out. Because on Sunday, the matchups do not favor us in the trenches. They might favor Georgia today over Alabama. Georgia offensive line, better than Bama's offensive line. Georgia's defensive line, better than Bama's defensive line. But tomorrow, that Bucs defensive line and those edge rushers and those inside linebackers like Lavonte David and Devin White, matchup problem. And same thing on the other side. Bucs offensive line, pretty darn good. Our defensive line, minus Grady Jarrett, can be very lacking at times. But we'll see. All right, let's continue on with some headlines. Hawks and the Sixers last night. And I watched a good portion of that game because the Pac-12 championship was a total snooze fest. Thank you, Oregon, for participating and showing up. At least you were in Vegas. Maybe you could have played some slot machines if you were 21 or older after that debacle. So I watched a good portion of the Hawks and the Sixers, and it was like I watched three different games. The first quarter, we were incredibly sloppy. Six turnovers, I think, in the first 6 or 7 minutes of the game. And then we kind of got it going in the second and third quarters. Double-digit lead, Trey being Trey. And then, guys, if you watched it, does anybody have an idea what happened in that fourth quarter? Because it's been 12 hours since that game was finished, and I still don't know what happened. 9 points going almost 4 minutes down the stretch without a point against the Sixer team that has not had Ben Simmons all year, that did not have Tobias Harris last night. And I get it. We're shorthanded. No DeAndre Hunter, no Cam Reddish, no Bogey. So in that 2-3 wing player position range, we're a little shorthanded. But this is now the second time you have not looked good against Philadelphia after what you did to them in the playoffs last year. Let's hear from Hawks head coach Nate McMillan talking about the L.
I thought we missed some shots, but I thought we didn't execute as well down a stretch. We pretty much allowed their pressure to disrupt us. I didn't think that we executed our plays down the stretch well, but we missed some open looks early in that quarter, and I thought that their pressure really affected us. You know, with 16 turnovers, basically we were, trying to attack them with the dribble, and you got to move the ball against this type of defense that they're good on the ball. So you got to get them in a scramble situation, and we didn't do that.
Sixers beat the Hawks last night at State Farm Arena 98-96. Now, look, we've been great at home. We've still won 8 of our last 10 games. Sitting there at 12-11. No panic. We're fine. I think you're going to see as this season plays out, it's going to be the same three teams. It's going to be Brooklyn. It's going to be Milwaukee. It's going to be Atlanta in some sort of order. 1, 2, 3. Throw in the Sixers at 4 if, in fact, they get healthy and get their guys back and ever figure out the Ben Simmons situation. Trey last night with 25-10, but not to the level of where he's been for the last 2 weeks or so, as he shot just over 33% last night. And then final headline, busy week for the Braves, right? Busy week for Major League Baseball. And I just want to hit on like 3 or 4 different things real quick here, rapid fire fashion. Number one, congrats to Brian Snicker. Contract picked up, extended through 2024's option. That was a no-brainer. You win the World Series, you're going to be here. Definitely short-term, if not long-term. Here's the other thing, guys. I know with the clock ticking this past week on a lockout, everybody was panicking. Everybody's rushing to Twitter. Freddie watch. Freddie. The Freddie fear is getting ridiculous. Guys, I know we didn't get a deal done, but it's December 4th. Baseball is still, let me see, January 4th, February 4th, March 4th, April 4th. We're like 3 months and 3 weeks away from Major League Baseball's regular season starting, assuming it will start on time. Can we relax with the Freddie Freeman thing? Number one, we're the world champions. Number two, Freddie Freeman loves Atlanta. Number three, Alex Anthopoulos is a tremendous GM who pushed every right button for the last 4 months. Do you really think they're going to screw that up? And I know you can go Liberty Media and cheap and all that card and play that card, which a lot of times is very accurate. But do you really think Freddie Freeman is going to leave Atlanta, Georgia? He's not going anywhere. It's like Chipper Jones all over again. He's the face of the franchise. And yeah, Ronald Acuna, when healthy, clearly the most talented player, clearly the best player. But they're not letting Freddie Freeman go. This is nothing more than an agent game. An agent saying, hey, John Heyman, here. The Dodgers are sniffing around for my guy. The Mets want my guy. The Yankees are interested. That's the way the game works. The agent goes to the reporter. The reporter reports it, drives up the market. It's all a game. Freddie Freeman sitting back with his feet up knowing he's going to get paid. And in all likelihood, at 99.5% odds, he's going to be an Atlanta Brave. So I think we got to stop the Freddie Fear stuff, guys. I mean, we're like a jilted lover who's been, you know, cheated on five times and doesn't trust her man. Relax. Freddie ain't going anywhere. And I'll also say this about the work stoppage. I don't fear for a second us losing any meaningful baseball games. Will spring training start on time? I don't know. Truth be told, I don't care. I think when opening day comes around, we're going to have baseball. And I'll say that for two reasons. Number one, the owners lost a lot of money in 2020 with the pandemic and only playing 60 games. And number two, it would be a PR nightmare to screw this up. Because baseball's in a really good spot right now. I mean, the interest in the game is very high. A lot of stars, a lot of marketable guys, a handful of teams that could legitimately win the whole thing. And the other thing, well, if baseball goes on strike, I'll never watch again. That is such a bunch of crap. If you say that, you are such a liar. You're just like the guy who said 5 years ago in the NFL with the kneeling for the anthem, you weren't going to watch again. Liar. You always come back, and you always will. Why? Because just like me, we're all suckers. It's our outlet. It's our escape. Sports are our reality show, our soap opera, our drama. We can sit there and fire off tweets, I hate you, baseball, how dare you? And then when first pitch comes, what are we doing? We're sitting down, we're cracking a beer, we're eating something unhealthy, and we're watching baseball. I don't think anybody's going anywhere. And then finally, on the Marcell Ozuna thing, with the video and the 20 games, I'll just say this, two things. One, very obvious, two, preference. One, it's very obvious you never lay your hands on a female. Number two, I'm a big believer in second chances. I don't know if he'll get that second chance with the Braves. I would like to see him back for what he does on the field. I can like what you do on the field and completely be against what you do off the field. But I'm a big believer in second chances. I think he'll get it. We'll see if it comes with the Braves. All right, coming up, hour number two is on the way. Jake Crane of Colin Cowherd's The Volume Sports of the J-Boy Show. We're going to talk SEC Championship with Jake. Dogs in the Tide, hour two next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.